and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet, yeah, and gave him to be head over all things, yeah, to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Yeah. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah. Good start, guys.
Thank you, Lord. Let's
just stand and worship the Lord as one body.
Oh, bless each one of us. Bless Pauline, Father God. We just thank you for the message. Open our hearts, Father. Give our hearts eyes to see and ears to hear. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Well, once again, good morning, and the Spirit of the Lord is here. We just proclaim that today. It's good to be able to worship together, amen? Well, worship exactly the same way. That's the nice thing about worship, is that we can personalize it, because worship comes from our heart to God, and the way that you connect with God might be a little different than the way I connect with God, but when we put it all together, it's like a choir. And God is pleased, and God loves the worship. The Bible says that God loves the worship of his people. There's just, you know, a number of things going on this morning, and we want to make sure that we have time for the Word of God, because that's so important. I want to just let you know a little bit more about the marriage seminar that's coming up, starting not this Monday, but starting this Monday. I said that right. I'm starting this Sunday, Monday. Come on up and tell us about it. That way it'll for sure be right.
We're going to show a DVD series called Love and Respect. And it's really good stuff. Even if you're not even in a relationship, there's so much to learn in this course. I have a friend who's actually been single her whole life, and she took in this teaching, and it just really helped her relate even to men in her workplace. And she was actually on a church board. And once she heard this, she realized that she had kind of approached some of the conversations a little not so great. So she learned so much. You don't have to be in trouble in your marriage to come. It's just really, really good stuff about communicating and the difference between men and women. And it's actually quite fun. And we'll have decaf coffee and tea. And it starts tomorrow at 7 till 9. And it's only 5 weeks. I know it's a sacrifice of time, but it's 5 Mondays, and it's an investment in your relationship, and you can learn so much.
Many have probably noticed that men and women really don't talk the same language in a lot of things, or you'll say something and get a reaction, and you're wondering, what did I say? What did I do? And it happens on the women's side, too. It's because, you know, we filter things different, and we communicate different. So this delves into that, and will help you understand how to communicate, and if you see reactions, I'm like, why? So come on out and learn.
Tomorrow. Ooh, try that again. Here I am yelling at you. So tomorrow. It just reminded me. That reminded me of this week on, I think it was Thursday, there's a little note on the mirror in our bathroom, and it was a Psalm 63, right, Crystal? Crystal writes Psalm 63, and she tuck it in the corner, and she was gone that morning, so I wrote a note on, and I put it on a mirror, too, and it said, please be considerate of other roommates, and let's not use the mirror as a billboard. So maybe we should go, yeah. Tomorrow night, it's going to be awesome. Thank you, God, for that. I'm going to ask Alvin and the guys to come up. We've got a few minutes here for what happened last week in the ministry to Muscatshish. So, Alvin, why don't you ask those guys? We want to hear. This is really important because we want to hear what God's done. Some amazing things happen.
Amen. Okay, men, come on. I just want to apologize to a lot of you folks, majority of you folks, and especially to the leaders of the church. I kind of get out there. Were you there? No, you weren't there, Clive. So, sorry, bud. So I just kind of become a rogue guy, eh? So I didn't want to, you know, I wanted to apologize to that. If I've offended anybody here, I deeply apologize to you, okay? I don't want to be a rogue player. I want to go as a team member. I want to support what Potter's Hands is doing here and the outreach. I just believe that Potter's Hands ministry is extending its tent pegs this year in 2018 like never before. Amen? So we went out there last week, and these are the guys that came with me. My wife came with me as well, and our sister here. So if something that really was a highlight to you, that really spoke to you of what took place last weekend. So if you can go along that line and make it as brief as possible.
Well, I basically made coffee the whole time because every pot we poured into the decanter, two seemed to disappear, so we kept people full of coffee. But I saw nothing but worship. I saw at least half a dozen people get saved and converted to Christianity. It was awesome. It was amazing. Thank you, Jesus. And he's going to spread like a wildfire in that place and heal the people there that have been through so much. It was the presence of God was absolutely there. It was incredible feeling the whole time. So, amen.
Good morning. It was a very positive experience, but what I'll take away and never, ever forget is me and Kelly Roll were sitting in two chairs, and a little girl came up between us, and she wasn't prejudiced at all, and she swung in our arms, and that's one thing, you know, I'll never forget out of that whole experience. It's people that, the little ones that don't see color or prejudice, and it's one thing I'll never, ever forget from that experience. Thank you.
I just walked around and I admired so early on seeing so many people sitting down being prayed over in the prayer corner, and later on seeing many others gathered really listening well to Pastor Alvin speaking about the cross and the resurrection. Little girl came around and wanted me to dance with her as well. Maybe the same girl. I was looking for somebody sitting alone, and the Lord showed me one fellow there, and I went and spoke with him for a while. He was saved, but I asked him how he heard about this event, and he said he heard on the radio. So I'm sure that we drew many that way. Probably many across from the bingo hall also came over. And but, you know, I'm sure we had a great impact, and we're looking forward to another event there.
Like along with what Ryan said, I made coffee for 4 hours, you know, like, and it was a little frustrating, but, you know, it was good to see there were so many people there. There was 150 to 200 people there, and you could just feel the joy in God in the room. You know, I wish I'd been able to get out and talk to more people, but he used me as a KitchenAid the whole time, which was all good. But you know, one thing I'll never forget is I had these group of kids come up to me, and they asked me how old I was. I said, you know, I'm 20, and the one did this. He just kind of grabbed my chin. I said, what the heck was that? And he just kind of giggled and ran off. And so, oh, I think that was God just trying to, you know, lighten my heart. And, you know, it's, you know, you're doing a good thing here, you know, even if it's just making coffee. But the people obviously needed that, so it was good. It was an amazing experience.
Well, hi, everybody. Yeah, what struck me was how many children were there, and some people that didn't know would show up. And like it was said, around half were saved. And what I should have done was ask my sister if she was there. But the Lord told me some other time, and I will. And I will talk to all my children as well, one-on-one if need be. But I'd love it if all together at once. Talk to them about what Jesus done to me, for me, and with me through the Holy Spirit. And I noticed that they noticed that my life has changed. I'm not the man I used to be. He's dead and gone, like it says in Colossians 2:10-3. I will talk to my sister soon. I even told her that and tell her everything about my life. And I will. Maybe I won't suggest that she be saved. Maybe she'll do it on her own. And I do pray for all my children as well and loved ones, my grandchildren, my great-grandchild, and everybody else I usually pray for. Amen.
Here's something. When my brother here, his young brother here, shared, just making a cup of coffee, that is expanding the kingdom of God. God just showed me this a couple weeks ago. When we were doing, I was working down at the Renew building, and Stan had come along and shared something with me that really, I started thinking about, we're that kingdom of God is expanding in central Alberta, in Red Deer, and anyway, as I was doing some framing, so I'm shooting in these nails and stuff. One nail is expanding the kingdom of God in Red Deer. One nail, hallelujah. One cup of coffee is expanding. One smile is expanding the kingdom of God in the city of Red Deer. So I just pray that God will just so revolutionize you guys this year in 2018, you will never be the same. We've never been this way before. 2018, amen? Never been this way before. So here's an opportunity to expand the kingdom of God, amen? And we're seeing it not only in Red Deer, but we're surrounding areas. We're looking forward to going out there again, and this time I'm going to give you more notice, okay? More than one day. So I really apologize for that. I don't know, my wife was here, but I was going to get her to come up. Terry, did you have anything?
Well, I just thank God that when we went out there was a lot of turnout. Last time when we went, there wasn't that many, but this time when we went, there was a lot of people, because at that time when we went, we were told that in 1 week, 11 people took their lives. And that was a lot. And there's a lot of hurting families that came out. And when we called altar call, you should have seen the crowds of people that came up for prayer, all in a hurdle. And then these two people were up front, or three, and they prayed for them. And we sat in our chairs, and we lifted our hands towards them, and we prayed. So and then in the meantime, there was another thing going on across the parking lot, called suicide something, and that's what it was called. It was called suicide. And I got to share with them about the love of God and what the cross meant, because I sat in Alvin's circle, and I shared, and I said, yes, and I shared how the love of God changed a person and how the love of God can heal a person from tragedies. And I said, so look to that love, and I said, and the woman was really hurt. So there was quite a few people in our circle that rededicated their lives back to God and accepted the Lord. And I just thank God that we had this opportunity to partner with them. And every 2 months or something, they're going to be having this scene out there. So that's what Alvin was talking about. So hopefully more can come out and support.
Amen. Just wanted to share just a little snippet. So a week before we went, on Monday, my son, Josh, and myself, we went down to the Renew building. And my thing was to focus on the cross. So I went down there, and we had a bunch of short little pieces of wood there that were basically, you know, going to be scrapped. We ended up, we cut them up, and we made little crosses like this. And the plan was to give them out to the kids, and these kids were going to paint them. So the Renew building, that old dance floor that maybe some of you danced on, is out there in Muscatine as a cross. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's give him a big hand. Thank you, Lord. Because, you know, miracles are happening. We sang about it, and it really is true. And we see lives like that, you know, coming to the Lord at Muscatchees. We see Anita in the hospital, now out of the hospital, with a new kidney. Gaston was healed this week. You know, things are happening. God is moving. He is a great God. He really is. He's such a powerful God. We need to acknowledge what he's doing. Thank you, God. One of the, you know, Alvin said that he wished he would have informed you better. I am not that good at that either. So I'm also apologizing because I've not been very good at telling you what's going on at Renew. And I think it's partly because I live there just about all week long, or it's always up in my head. But today I want to show you a couple of pictures and then show you the future sign. So why don't you put the pictures up, the first one up. So just so you know, things are going really well. If you haven't been able to drive by the outside of the building, this is what the outside of the building looks like now. It's all been redone. This is an old building that's about 50 years old that if you're new here, you don't know what we're doing here. This is going to be called Renew Thrift Store. It's going to be a thrift store. We hope to have it open in 2 months, maybe 3 months. That depends on some things that are not in our control. But the renovations are really going well. And we believe that this is a dream that God is giving us as a church, and that it's not really just about a business. It's not really about all the rags and the T-shirts and the sporting goods that are going to be bought, but that this is a metaphor for people's lives. Just like this building was turned from an old dance hall, an old cowboy's bar, into something brand new. That's what's going to happen to many lives, and that's good news. Next picture. That's the outside of the building. Here's what the inside of the building looks like now. And actually, these pictures were taken about 3 weeks ago, so now the back is all framed and drywalled, and it's painted, and we are hoping that in about a week we can start flooring, and that probably, and this is a big word, probably, that by the 5th of February, so the first Monday in February, we can start welcoming you to bring some of the stuff you have. So in about 2 weeks, all right, in about 2 weeks, if things continue to go well. So it's hard to tell. What you can see here, though, is the windows. There were no windows in the building at all. It was just all black. The ceiling was black. But now you can see that there's 6 or 7 huge windows. They're 7-foot by 6-foot windows, and it really brings light into the place. Again, that's a metaphor, that light needs to go into people's lives. It changes everything. And do you have the picture of the sign? Here's the sign, what it's going to look like. Not the bottom part where it says 24 wide, just so it's kind of funky, it's kind of casual looking signs, kind of modern. It's got the 3 roses or tulips or flowers or hearts or whatever they are that kind of represent for us the cross, you know, the 3 crosses. And you see the sun and you see the sunlight, you see the yellow, and that the name itself, Renew. And it's one thing that we're going to be able to say to people, too, is that whatever profits come out of this is going to go to help feed people who are homeless, to help Lazarus House, to help disciple people, to help provide for people who don't have. So I think that's really exciting that we're going to be able to, whatever profits we have, go back into the community. And hopefully not just, you know, not just to give them stuff, but to see their lives really changed. So thank you, Jesus. Thanks, Chad. I'm going to ask Pauline to come forward. Really excited to hear the word today as you bring the word. Excuse me. There's the right hand of fellowship. That means we're still getting along, you see. So before you speak, I just want to say something that God's been laying on my heart. And it's just a word of encouragement. That when we come together and we worship God, and I'm well aware that there's some of you who are just kind of getting back on track again. Some of you just come, some of you here for the first time, some of you have been here for a month or just getting back to God. That the way the Bible talks about this is that it's like soil. It's like our heart is ground. And sometimes he's got to stir the ground up so that we can receive the truth. And that's what God's doing in all of our lives to one degree or another. But if you're wondering why you're feeling the way you're feeling or why you're needing something or you're feeling empty or maybe you're just feeling the presence of God, the answer to that is it's because the Holy Spirit is stirring up your heart. And he's making your heart, he wants to at least, he wants to make your heart soft ground. And that's what my prayer is going to be in a moment when, you know, just as we pray for Paul Ann. I'm not just praying for Paul Ann, I'm praying for me. I'm praying for you that our hearts will be soft, that we'll be ready to receive exactly what he wants to teach me, what I need to know. And so much of this is our willingness to put in. You're not going to get anything out of this if we don't put into it. If we don't listen carefully, if we're not obedient to the word, it's not going to really change anything. And so it's our willingness to come to God today and say, God, I just soften my heart before you today. I want my heart to be soft. I want my heart to receive. I want my heart to be fallow ground where it's been stirred up, it's been plowed, it's been rotor tilled. But I know that I'm here today because you want me to be here. I'm here today because I need you. I'm here today because I'm lost without you, God. I need a community of people who follow Jesus Christ as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Amen? So I am just encouraging you, you know, just take a moment and let's just quiet our hearts. Let's just quiet our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. God, we're just so glad to be in your presence. And we're here today to receive whatever you want to give us. We're here today not ashamed to say that we need you. We're lost without you. Our lives are broken, and there isn't any hope unless you restore us. Thank you, God, that through Jesus you bring that restoration. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. We soften our hearts. We speak right now. I speak to my heart. And say, heart, be soft. Right now, be soft before the living God. We speak to our hearts and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to minister the word. To minister the word to us. Speak truth. Speak the things that we need to hear. We come into this place. Some of us are broken, lost. Some of us haven't been here ever before. Some of us, we don't know where to turn. So we turn to you. And we pray that today you'll show us that you are the real living God, the real living God. I pray for my brother today. I thank you for Paul Ann. I know that he is a man of God and that he is a vessel you speak through him. So do that today, God. I pray that he will be obedient to your word and that your Holy Spirit will just allow his tongue to speak in a way that we understand. We get it. We get it. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to greet you again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Church. We'll be reading a part of the scripture from the Old Testament today. If we can have them on the screen, it'll be from Genesis chapter 28. Starting from verse 10 until verse 22. But if you have your Bible, you can open that along. But we'll read in unison. We'll read at the same time. If you're ready, we'll read. 1, 2, 3. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. there above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I'll give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and you and your offspring. I'm with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to this land. I'll not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head, and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking, and I'll give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all of that you give me, I'll give you a tenth. May God add this blessing to the reading of his word. I'm not going to preach about how Jacob ran from his house and being a homeless guy. I'm not going to preach either about how God displayed his grace to him in such a remarkable way, even though he has done wrong. We found in the passage, he didn't reproach him, but he even gave him blessing. I am not going to preach either about how he made a vow to God. That's a wonderful thing, to make a vow. As long as you cling to it and fulfill it. But with the leading of the Holy Spirit, I'd like to talk today about the meaning of this stairway in his dream, in Jacob's dream, on which he saw angels ascending and descending. And on top of it is God. Just imagine for a second, if you will, this stair, or this ladder, I should say, reaching up heaven, touching heaven and earth. Tell me, what can reach heaven from earth? Your prayer. Prayer. I appreciate so much Pastor Alvin emphasized the importance of prayer. We were together praying for several nights here on the first week of January, and I appreciate the way how he emphasized the importance of prayer in the life of a believer. And let me tell you this, nothing is more powerful than prayer especially if it is combined with fasting in this world. Not the weapon created by man, but prayer. But the downside of it also, there is nothing more misunderstood than prayer and fasting. As believers, as the children of the living God, loving God, you and I, if you had anything, if you had any gift to us from God, make it prayer. To be prayers. This prayer to the carnal world, it is insensible for them. They don't understand the importance of prayer to the material, corporeal world. They don't know the value of prayer. But you and I do, because the scripture, the Bible, teaches us that prayers coupled with faith, if you pray fervently, sincerely, things will open, heavens will open, miracles will happen. And external forces from the enemy, remember this, cannot stop this powerful force of prayer. Cannot. Because prayer is God-given and God-directed. As long as it is God-given, led by the Holy Spirit, you allow the Spirit working in you and through you, and He'll direct those prayers. Oh, it is awesome. It is powerful. In prayers, we go straight to God. We don't need an intermediary. We don't need to go through anyone else, except through Jesus sitting at the right side of God, right-hand side of God. If you want to commune with God, we remember very well when the curtain in the Holy of Holies was torn in two. At the death of Jesus, our channels, our access to the Father were opened by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus ascended into heaven, we believers, we can intercede with the Father. It is prayer that opens the door to the promises given by God. It is prayer. No other key. It is prayer. Well, prayers can be conveyed to God either by praying in the Spirit or either by praying in the language or praying with understanding. But it appears that praying in the Spirit is more effective. Praying in the Spirit is much more effective. Yet, regular prayers can be very powerful too. We don't underestimate that. The spiritual prayer should come from the inner person. It should come from the heart. Because it seems to be unhindered, unencumbered with the things of the world, with our circumstances. Because regular prayers, so many times, just evolve around our circumstances in our lives. If you read the Bible, in the book of Psalms, you can find them there, prayers by King David. So many wonderful and powerful prayers in the book of Psalms. If you want to know the prayer of Jesus, you can read John chapter 17. It's a very powerful prayer. Even in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, upon the request of his disciples, taught them how to pray. He gave them a model, a pattern of prayer, so that they could pray based on that pattern. I know God knows our circumstances. He knows anything even before we utter any single word in our prayer. But still the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. That's where prayer kicks in. Now I want to go back to our passage. In Genesis chapter 28, about this Jacob's dream at Bethel. By the way, Bethel means El is God. Beth refers to the place or house. So this is the house of God, Bethel. In that dream, Jacob saw angels ascending. In fact, the meaning of all this vision to him in a dream is link with the prayers of believers. Ascending angels, bringing up our prayers to the throne of God, and descending angels, bringing down the answers to your prayers as believers, as commanded by God. So it is very important that there is these two up and down communication. Not just prayers go up without the angels coming back or returning with the answers. Because many times, as soon as the words of your prayer leave your lips, the angels carry them to God, and then these angels, somehow, in the middle of the way, when returning with the answers to you, they are being intercepted. By who? We'll find it later. One thing I'd like to say is prayer has been a big or a massive interaction between, remember these three things. Prayer has been a massive interaction between angels, good angels I mean, not bad angels, not evil spirits, good angels, and then satanic kingdom. And the Father. If you want to know more about this, please read the book of Daniel, where it says that Daniel had his prayer answered already by Gabriel, but then, Gabriel was hindered. Intercept. By whom? The Bible says, by the prince of Persia. Meaning who? The enemy. satanic forces. And for 21 days, unless the other archangel, Michael, came down to help, that prayer will be unanswered. But praise God, Michael the archangel was sent, and mighty, powerful angel defeat the prince of this Persia, defeat the kingdom of Satan. So I think by now you understand already that for prayers to be answered, this stair, this ladder should be reversed. Reverse means, in this case, going up and returning down. The angels must go up and then come down with the answers. Because remember again, the spiritual world is the battleground. Spiritual world is a battleground when you pray. Many prayers are unanswered because of these angelic battles. I know not because of that alone. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, if you have unconfessed sins, God's ears will not hear your prayers. The book of Psalms 66 also says, if I harbor sins in my heart, even if I pray, God will not hear my prayer. So we need to pray effective, powerful prayers, especially when it comes to seeking deliverance. Many people nowadays need to be delivered. Many people nowadays need to cry out through their prayers to God to get deliverance. Need to be delivered from sicknesses, from diseases. And all these sickness and diseases are the result of horrible, unclean spirits affecting and entering the lives of many people. As I said in my message last month, last December, not all sickness, but the majority of these problems that we have been inflicted, brought to you, to your body, by this enemy, by demons, by unclean spirits. Because they brought these spirits, they brought spirits of infirmities living in the bodies of people. I know they cannot gain access to the Holy of Holies in your life because you belong to God, but they can affect to some extent your body, the process of your emotion and your thinking and your feeling. That's the second layer. Because we are tripartite man, body, soul, and spirit. If you are a believer, they cannot enter your spirit. The ownership of that place, that Holy of Holies in your life, is Jesus Christ. Amen. Talking about the effectiveness of prayers, sometimes we see there are some degrees of this effectiveness. If I pray, for example, like this, Father God, please help me get this sickness from my being. You are Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen. It's a prayer. And listen to this second prayer. Father, set me free from this sickness. Let it be your will. Amen. And let's listen to the third prayer. Dear God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, bind all satanic or demonic forces against me and loose all sicknesses from my body. Amen. You have seen these three prayers. But now let me mention the fourth one. In fact, this is not a prayer. I hope you will know this. If I say, you stinky, wicked, foul, demonic, unclean spirit of sickness and infirmities in my body, I break all your powers and I command you to loose from my body by the name of Jesus and the power of his blood. Take all the sickness and don't ever return. I claim power over you in the name of Jesus. That is not a prayer. It's a command. And that's what God wants you to do, to attack the enemy. Why? Because you have been given power. You have been given authority. Amen. You have been asked by God to do it. The Bible says in John 14:14. Remember that verse. John 14:14. John 14:14. Whatever you ask me in my name, I will do it. And let me couple that with another verse from Luke 10. Verse 17 until 19. It says there, I give you power. Jesus speaking to you, to the church, to believer. I give you power over all the enemies, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. So I need to ask myself, why is it then, if God has given you, believers, power over enemies, and God has promised that whatever we ask him in his name, that he will do, why do I keep asking Jesus and God the Father to cast out evil and unclean spirits? My point is, you are authorized, you have the power, you have the promise, please do it for the glory of God. Amen. Do you really believe what the Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, or in the end of the book of Matthew chapter 28, where God says before ascending to heaven, I have been given all power Jesus speaking to his disciples, and also in the book of Mark, that believers are given power to perform miracles. That's the first. And to drive or to expel or to cast out demons in Jesus' name. And then the third thing mentioned in the passage is that believers will speak in tongues. I know this is a subject that can easily confuse many people, but as far as I'm concerned, I speak in tongues every day, but not in front of you, not here. Sometimes I do. At work, I speak in tongues while working. And you can do that as well. You have direct access to the Father. Amen. And the last thing God said in that verse, when believer places their hands on the sick, they shall be healed. And all this is available to the church, available to us. God said, I will work through you, through the church, through his body. So if we go out as God's ambassadors, wherever we are, at sports place, in our school, in our work, if we go out in his name, to prove that what God says in the Bible about his kingdom, he'll confirm them. He will confirm those things to the world, that they are true. The Bible says, by miracles, they validate the truth of what we say to the world about God's kingdom. I know ignorance, laziness, afraid to step out of our comfort zone. These are the things, these are the reasons on my part for not doing what God says that I should do. Ignorance, same as lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish because of what? Lack of knowledge. That's part of ignorance. Laziness. I'm talking about myself. And then the third one, I just want to stay at my comfort zone. But today is the day God says to his church, rise up, church. Rise up, church. I'm with you. Miracles and wonders, amazing things will take place if you speak the word of God in truth and in love to the world. The world is perishing. Unless we go out with our mission. So we have understood already that sometimes the answers to our prayers will be delayed because your angel with the answer is being intercepted by the spiritual forces of Satan. These satanic forces, especially when you devote yourself to prayer, these satanic forces and God's angels are in constant battle. As in the case of Daniel's prayer. That's why I said the reasons that many prayers are delayed or unanswered are due to that truth or to that fact. And that's why the Bible says, remember this, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. What does Paul say to the church in Thessalonica there? It says, pray incessantly. Pray without ceasing. Keep on praying, even though you feel that the answer is not yet coming. Pray and pray and pray and pray and pray until the answer comes. One more truth that I'd like to share with you. God's angels are attached to God's word. God's angels are attached to God's word. What does it mean? Because these angels are created to obey God and to do God's bidding, to perform God's word. Amen. These angels are God's messengers. In fact, the meaning of angel or angelos is messenger, bringing the word. That's why I said, when you pray based on the word of God, always the angel is attached to that word, because God commands that word, and angels is attached to the word to perform it. That's why I understand even clearer today about healing for the Israelites. When God declares himself to be the healer for them on their way to the land of promise, where they didn't have any doctors or pharmacies, God declares himself to be Jehovah Rapha. The Bible says there, he means God, Jehovah, Yahweh. He sends his word and healeth them. Because in that word, the angel is attached. God just speaks that word through his mouthpiece, through the people, through his servants, touching the life of hearers or the Israelites' people, and those who are sick being touched by the angel for their healing. Hebrews 1:14 says, that these angels are ministering spirits sent out in God's service. For the sake of whom? For the sake of those destined to receive salvation. Who are those people destined to receive salvation? It's you and me. So we have ministering spirits. We have angels all around us. At work, if you drive, if you play, if you study, if you worship, if you pray, angels are present. Don't worry, the number of angels is way too many. Even though a third of them has gone with Lucifer when they are casted out from heaven. But way too many. If you read the book of Job, I think the number of angels, not in million, but in billion and maybe in trillion, because their number is related to the galaxies, the stars. That's the number, how many, how vast their number is. I'd like to close in a few minutes. The purpose of this message is so that you know that prayer is very important in our life. If you want to have a breakthrough in 2018, use this key. Use this key. God-given key. Prayers. Again, let me emphasize, if you read Daniel chapter 10, some verses show there that heavenly beings or angels come because of Daniel's words. It doesn't mean that you can command angel. It doesn't mean that you pray to angels. It's not biblical. We pray to God. That's a line of communication. And then God will command his angels for your sake. Daniel 10, verse 11 says, God answered Daniel's prayer as soon as he, meaning Daniel, began to pray. One more verse and then I'm finished. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this world, the God of this world, meaning the prince of demons, our enemies, satanic kingdoms, darkens the minds of unbelievers. Why do so many people do not want to believe in the gospel? Why do so many people do not grab the truth that can set them free? The answer is because this prince of demons, the God of this world, has darkened the minds of them. My prayer and my plea is, let's be in more earnestness to lift up our prayers so that we can see more breakthrough in the coming days, in the coming months, and in these coming years for God's glory. God bless you all.
Amen. Okay, loud amen.
Amen.
Amen. They say this church is going to the dogs. That may be true. I don't know. No, loud amen, you know, because we've been, this is how we started worship, that a miracle can happen now. And that's a good word. It's a good reminder. We have authority. I'm not going to preach his whole sermon again because he did it really well. But we have authority. You have authority. We can speak to the enemy. We can speak to the disease. We can speak to whatever it is that's going on in our lives. And we have authority over that. I'm just going to use the piano today. Just going to let or ask Kirsten to play that song. Because I really believe that the question today from the Father to you, the question is, so what can I do for you? Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. But what's expected is that you do the asking, that you do the seeking, and that you do the knocking. But I believe the Father is saying, so what can I do for you? What do you need from me today? And maybe it's a miracle. Maybe it's something specifically for you. And you know that as you heard the message and as you were part of the service today, that you know this is about you today. Or maybe it's for someone else. Maybe today you stand in a gap for a son or a daughter or a neighbor or for someone that you love who needs that miracle. A miracle can happen now. We sang that, right? Miracles aren't just something that happened 2,000 years ago. They happen today. And they begin with prayer. They begin by taking the authority that God has given us and putting that authority and exercising that authority. So in a few moments, and I know we're getting late, it's going to be really simple today. I'm just going to ask you to come to the front. And I had this picture in my mind already last night that there are going to be many people just with their knees on the carpet, just come to the altar. Because the Father is asking us, what can I do for you? What do you need to ask me for? And I will send my angels. And I will send my angels. And I will answer your prayers. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Just close your eyes. Right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that as our hearts are softened before you, and as we've been listening to you, we will know exactly what the Spirit of God would have us pray. Thank you, God, for prayer. Thank you for the amazing gift we have to communicate with you. And that you say to us this morning, my son, my daughter, what can I do for you? What is it that you need? Or who's on your heart today? Who is on your heart that you can bring to me? Thank you, Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Maybe it's rest that you need to ask God for today. Maybe it's physical healing. Maybe it's something from years and years ago. You need to get on your knees. No one's going to ask you what that thing is. But the opportunity is here this morning. The Spirit of the living God is in this place right now. The Spirit of the living God calls you and says, come to me, and I will hear your prayers, and I will answer from heaven, and I will deliver you, and I will save you. Maybe it's salvation. It's possible that there are some here today, you've never given your life to Christ, and you want to start today, you want this new beginning. So now, I invite all of you who feel and who know the Holy Spirit is calling you today. Just come on. Why don't we find a place on that white carpet? Put your knees down and let's pray together. Why don't you come now? This is an opportunity for a new beginning, a brand new start. All we do is we just ask the Father, in the name of Jesus, just come. Come to Jesus. Thank you, God. Isn't it great that his arms are wide open? You don't need to be on the carpet. You could be on the concrete too. That's fine. Let's just humble ourselves before the living God. Amen. God is so good. God is so good. He is saving us. Saving us from our sin. Saving us from ourselves. Saving us from our habits. He just says, come to me. And I empower you with the power of the Holy Spirit. And right now we pray that in Jesus' name. For the power of the Holy Spirit to change our hearts, God, where it needs to be changed. Thank you, God, that you welcome us. Thank you that your arms are wide open, that you see us as your sons and daughters. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I sense that there's bitterness, God. So where there's bitterness in our lives, where there's been unforgiveness, when someone has hurt us in such a way that we have felt like we could never, ever forgive, that could never be peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray for that bitterness and that anger and for that unforgiveness to be gone in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Jesus. We lift you up, Jesus. You know our hearts. You know the things that are on our hearts right now. You know the person. There are some people here today. There's a person that is on our hearts. And we're praying, God. We're praying for that individual, praying for that person. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. We need that miracle, God. Hallelujah. You're so good. Mighty God. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We believe too today, God, that when we pray, these are not just words that go up into thin air, but as we heard in your word today, that you commission your angels. Are not all angels ministering spirits? So let your angels minister today. Let them minister in our lives. Let them minister to the husband who's not here today. Let them minister to our loved ones and to our family and to our neighbors and to the people we work with. Let your ministering angels work, God. In Jesus' name, we declare this. And we take authority over the power of the enemy. We take authority over every way that he has tried to steal and kill and destroy. We take authority over the fear. Some of us here this morning on our knees are afraid. We're just afraid for whatever it is. You know what it is. We take authority over the fear in the name of Jesus. And we remind ourselves that perfect love casts out all fear. And that the perfect love has come to us in the person of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just say that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, God. You are so good. You are so good. Lift your name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Hallelujah. Just finally, God, we need you. And we want to end on that note. We need you so much. You are the great shepherd. We've come. Not all of us have come. Some of us are praying this in our seats. That's okay. We've come to say, Lord, we're nothing without you. You are so good. We need to know that you love us. We need to know that whatever our situation is, that you are in control. You are in control, God. And that you know our brokenness. You know our pain. You know our fears. But you're in control. And that we can trust you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We receive this, the prayers and the desires and the heart cry right now of your people. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you. I know it's time to go, but I just feel God saying that if there's anybody here who could just come and surround some of these individuals, just put a hand on them. You don't need to say anything. If you feel inclined to do that today, just do that right now. Just come on up and put your hand on somebody. Remind them that they're loved by God. Why don't we stand up and let's do that. Some of us are more than inclined to do that. Let's do it. You are loved by the Father. Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Can you say God is good? Let me hear you. God is good. He's alive. Amen. And he embraces us in his love because he loves us so much. I'm going to ask you to stand and I want to give you the parting blessing today, but we're not done. If you need a more prayer or if there's some more deliverance that you need in your life, come on up. Let's talk. Let's pray. Let's seek God. He gives the answers. Why don't we stand? Lift up your hands to God. Receive the blessing of the Lord today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May God give you his peace. Amen. Go in the power of God. Go in the power of God. Hallelujah.